Welcome to Profit Boss Radio, where successful women have paved the road to their own financial freedom. Each week, your host, Hillary Hendershot, financial coach, money mindset expert, and experienced wealth manager, will help you discover the keys to the wealth and peace of mind you want and deserve in her no-nonsense and authentic style. Starting right now.
Hi there, and welcome to episode 8 of Profit Boss Radio. I'm your host, Hillary Hendershot. This episode is all about upgrading your money operating system, which is something so many of us want and need to do. And you may not even know exactly what that means, but by the end of this episode, I promise you will. And this is going to be an episode that I refer back to time and time again over the course of this show. So strap on your seatbelt and get ready to upgrade that money OS. But first, let me just say from the bottom of my heart, thank you for all of the iTunes reviews, love you've been giving. The folks over at Apple have taken notice of the show and we've been featured in the new and noteworthy category, and people have been downloading and subscribing in record numbers. We are off the charts. So keep that review love coming, please. Real quick, if you've just started listening to Profit Boss Radio and you want to know why I created it, who I am, more about me, go back to the very first episode. It's called Welcome to Profit Boss Radio. That episode is just 8 minutes long, 8 short minutes, and it's like the about page on someone's website. It's my background and it's my why I do this, why I do what I do. So go ahead now if you want to go. That's right. Go ahead. I'll be here when you get back. And what I talked about most in that episode was the fact that this show is absolutely a labor of love for me, that I'm passionate about it and I'm inspired about moving women forward toward financial empowerment and financial freedom. I have a huge vision for the world and I'm so blessed that I found it, that I get to create it every day. And the money operating system technology is a key and critical piece of that movement, because some of us do need to upgrade our money operating systems. You can only do so much with the programming you have. But getting back to the reviews some of you have written, what really touches me is that heart-centered and inspired approach that's really real for me, I can tell it's being felt by you. So let me just read just a few of the reviews. So this one is by C. Rodskog, and it's called The Real Deal. She says, Hillary's style is so accessible, which is so needed when it comes to talking about money. She's not only easy to listen to and absolutely engaging, but she has a way with her guests that pulls out the most critical information in an easy to digest way that's like listening to your trusted girlfriends. Brilliant. This one brought tears to my eyes because that's exactly what Profit Boss Radio is supposed to be. It's that conversation about money with your girlfriends. It's your wealth mastermind. So thanks, Ms. Rodskog. The next one is by Skeo CEO, or SKEO CEO, and it's called Outstanding. She says, I just finished listening to the first episode and was blown away. Spot on, passionate, valuable, and really needed. I will refer every woman I know to this show and a bunch of men. Financial literacy is such an important skill for everyone. So these are just two of the amazing reviews you've left for me, Profit Bosses. And as of today, I am pressed up against the number 3 spot in iTunes, new and noteworthy. So will you please help us out? And if you haven't written a review, go and do that now. I'm also running a big contest for people who support the show, and you can win one of 3 $100 Amazon gift cards if you subscribe to the show, write a review, and then go to the show notes for this episode at HillaryHendershot.com/8, and click on podcast contest. Right there, there are instructions for how to write a review if you don't know how. Don't worry, you're not the only one. And the link to the podcast contest for you to enter. So just go to HillaryHendershot.com/8 and everything is right there for you. I so appreciate the love, and just know that you're helping us get the word out to so many women who are taking control of their money and stepping into their own financial power. We need to get the word out. And right now, how to do that is leave a review for the show and subscribe to the show. That's how to make the Apple gods pay attention and push the show out on their huge platform that reaches millions and millions of people. I also really want to thank my launch team. This is a core group of supporters of the show who participated in the launch intimately, promoted it to their friends, fans, and clients, and I couldn't be more grateful. Also, I've personally vetted their businesses, and I would be honored to refer you to work with any one of them. First, there's Perry Stephan Hagen. She is an expert in job acquisition and career satisfaction. If you are ready to have work and compensation that you love, visit her at gtjc-usa.com and put a honey badger to work for you. Second, there's Nadia Shapiro, the psychic business consultant for the soulpreneur. And if you're ready to start your own business, you need some guidance to start the right business or get the business you've already got off on the right foot, go to NadiaShapiro.com. Third is Sandy Rocco, fat loss expert at SF Fat Loss. That's sfatloss.com, where you can set goals and get results. Fourth and finally, thank you so much to Paige Hinton. Paige is a dream body and lifestyle transformation coach. If you're a woman who's over 40 and you are ready to be proud of what you see in the mirror and proud of the woman who fills up your clothes, go to PaigeHinton.com. All of these links can be found in the show notes for today's show at HillaryHendershot.com/8. Let's get right to the money operating system upgrade I talked about. The money operating system is a technology that I introduced in my TEDx talk, which is called The Surprising Power of Language to Make You Rich. I'm not going to repeat what's in that talk today, though. I have something really special for you today that's going to go even deeper, and I think it's going to be really powerful to help you understand how to make a difference in your own money life. But for those of you who haven't seen the TEDx talk, I, of course, am going to make it really easy for you to get that content. See, you can go to my YouTube channel and you can see it there, but I know where you are, Profit Boss. You're in your car, you're on your run or your hike or on the train, or you're doing dishes right now. And that's the wonder of podcasts. But you're not going to run over to YouTube and watch a 20-minute video. That's not how podcast audiences like to learn. So 2 days after this episode airs, I'm going to release a bonus Profit Boss Radio episode that is just the audio from my TEDx talk. So it'll only be 20 minutes. And I just wanted to do you the favor of putting it right there in your earbuds. So it's super easy for you to get to. So you'll have a 2-part series to upgrade your money operating system, a 1-2 punch. And that's sure to put the smack down on those negative money habits and beliefs. All right, let's get right to it. First, I want you to know this money operating system technology and framework is not woo-woo. There's nothing wrong with woo-woo, but this isn't about your emotions and it does not have anything to do with the power of attraction. This is based on the findings of neuroscientists and has everything to do with the contextual and creative power of language. Our lives are based on language. Our experience of life is based in language. Helen Keller was born not being able to hear or see or even speak. And we all know that she did learn language. And after she learned language, she communicated that she had felt water in her hands 1,000 times. But until she learned the word for water, there was no water. We are linguistic creatures, and it is our words that give us our experience of life. You think you know some things about money, its true nature or characteristics. So try on, for the purposes of getting this distinction, that you don't. Money has no true nature. Money is a human construct. We made it up in language. Money is just a medium for barter, and we are all super crazy insane about it. You know, if you put on glasses that have a yellow tint, first, everything looks yellow, right? But if you leave them on, after a while, yellow is just the way that they are. Those glasses or that filter actually shifts your perception of reality. So your money operating system is the yellow lenses. It's your filter for the subject of money. You believe something, actually a host of things, to be true about money, and you live like they're true. And you have lots of evidence that you're right. And human beings don't hold contradictory beliefs well. So you also have a web of beliefs that agree with your money operating system. Everything fits nicely and neatly into your web of beliefs. And right now you can't see that anything else is out there. Your money OS dictates everything about your financial life, your earnings and your savings, your spending, your emotions, your conversations, everything. And a little bit more about the power of language. And you can actually hear the word language in this case as interchangeable with the word filter. So just a little bit more about the power of filters. For example, it's been proven that Russian speakers can see more blue colors than English speakers. Why? Because the Russian language distinguishes between two different spectra of blue. What we call light blue and dark blue, they actually have two very different words for. And scientists proved that native Russian speakers are far more likely than English speakers to effectively and accurately tell between and match samples of blue colors. Why? Because language gives us reality, or filters give us reality. In today's episode, I've collected a series of interviews with past students in my courses and people who have done this work on and for themselves, the finance of the interior. And they've taken the time to analyze their money operating system and to look at it for what it is. It's basically a superstition. You live like a superstition is true. So what are the possible money operating systems? They're really simple, they're core beliefs. And for you right now, one or more of these is actually true. Here are just a handful of possible money operating systems. One, there's never enough money, or money is hard to get. Two, money is complicated. Three, you have to work hard for money. Four, money is bad. Five, the universe or God will provide money for me if I am good. Six, there's always enough money. Seven, money gives me value, or money makes me important. Eight, spend money while you have it, or something like you only live once. Nine, making money is easy. And each of these money operating systems is going to give you a particular reality about money. But the point is that all of your results have to get pulled through this filter. Notice how no matter what happens in reality, people's behavior is always 100% aligned with their filter for money. For example, people with the belief that you have to work hard for money will actually walk away from easy money. People with the belief that money is complicated will nearly always have family drama about money. People with the belief that there's never enough money will take a windfall and spend it all quickly. People with the belief that money gives them value or importance will go to great lengths to perpetrate a life that looks like they have money, often, ironically, costing themselves financial security and freedom. We are slaves to our money operating systems, and my assertion is that every bit of financial empowerment we so desperately want for ourselves begins with admitting that the money operating system is simply a set of superstitions that we made up and now live like are true. So what I have for you today is five interviews. One of them is me interviewing myself, so it's four people you haven't heard and me. But what's incredibly valuable about me interviewing them and you hearing what they have to say in their own words is that you can hear their filters at work. So listen to these interviews, and I want you to be thinking about which one you relate to and even where you hear your friends or your partner or your loved ones in the different voices, and how important this system of beliefs that we all have is to our money life. I'm really excited about the power of this technology, and I hope you find it incredibly valuable in giving you insight into why money continues to go the way that it goes for you. One of the things I included in all of these interviews is asking people about the supporting beliefs that go with their money operating system. I included this because I want you to begin to identify the foregone conclusions you live by. These are superstitions you haven't questioned in years, and you likely don't realize that they are a critical piece of keeping your money results in place. For example, if you believe that money is bad, you also believe somewhere, consciously or unconsciously, that rich people are bad. You will sabotage yourself financially forever until you uncover and take apart this belief, because there is no room in your world for wealth. So once you've heard the interviews and you've thought about what your money operating system is and you have a sense of some of those supporting beliefs, go over to hillaryhendershot.com/8 and download the money operating system worksheets. I've put them there for you. They're free so you can really make this work for you. These worksheets are going to help you distinguish the subconscious beliefs that are at work in your life and that are reinforcing your current way of being. You want to get to a place of wonder here. Like, wow, I have believed this old thing to be true about money for so long. And now that I've listened to all these people with all these different beliefs, and I know Hillary said my money belief is a superstition, so I know it's not true objectively. So what is true about money? And just get to a place of wondering, what could be possible for me if what I know to be true about money isn't true anymore? And I think you'll begin to see that anything is possible. So our goal today in how to upgrade your money operating system is to get to a place where you're wondering. One note, one of the interviews is with my husband, Robert, and getting to interview someone with his money operating system, which he will share with you in the interview and happens to be money is no problem or like it's all good, is a little bit like having an albino alligator at the San Francisco Aquarium. He is a rare breed. You know how they say they don't really know how to give narcissists treatment and therapy because narcissists don't believe there's anything wrong with them, so they don't get treatment? Well, people with the money operating system, money is no problem, don't come to coaches and don't often hire financial advisors. So the fact I happen to marry him is really the only thing that puts someone like him in my path. And I think it's super cool that you get to hear from someone like him because his money OS actually had him produce some pretty great results. The main problem was that it took me years to get him to actually be a financial partner to me because, as he says in the interview, he didn't think there was anything to talk about. And he's just an awesome and super smart and successful guy, and I adore him, so I think it's cool to get to feature him here. So first, I'll answer the questions I asked everyone myself, and then you'll hear the other four interviews. And then don't forget to go to hillaryhendershot.com/8 to enter the $100 gift card contest and download the money operating system worksheets that go with this episode, free as my gift to you. Then in 2 days, my TEDx talk will pop up in your mobile phone if you're subscribed. So go subscribe to the show and make sure you get it. And let's get right to upgrading your money operating system. Okay, this is Hillary interviewing Hillary. I'm going to ask myself the questions. I haven't scripted the answers, but these are basically the same questions I took everyone through in this series of interviews. So first, what is your money operating system and where did it come from? So my core money operating system was that there's never enough money. It did come from my childhood. My mom, it turns out, was a great saver, and she was pretty conservative with spending money on the things I wanted her to spend on when I was a kid. And so I thought we were broke. I didn't get name brand clothes and I couldn't buy what I wanted. And, you know, she was doing the right thing, but I didn't know that. I didn't understand what saving was. So for me, there was never enough money. As soon as I was making money, I spent all of it. It was like a reaction to having not had the freedom to have what I wanted. I just really wanted things. And, you know, I remember my first job was at a Hallmark store, and this Hallmark store sold lots of little gifts and cool stuff. And I mean, I bought everything, like crystal necklaces, stamps, like expensive stamps, arts and crafts. I'm not even an arts and crafts person, but, you know, I justified it by saying I would get the employee discount, which was 30%. Then later, you know, I graduated from college and went out into management consulting, and I was living in San Francisco. And the salary was low for living in San Francisco. So of course I didn't save. And I told myself, well, I'll save when I make more. But of course, whenever I would make more, it never felt like it was enough. And I would rack up credit card debt, like again and again and again. And, you know, looking back on it, it all seems so silly, but that is what I did. And that is the impact of the unreviewed money operating system. There's never enough money. I also had a twinge of money gives me value. And so I was kind of devastated by the fact that my financial life wasn't working out because I really wanted to be rich because I thought people would think more of me, that they would think I was successful or lovable or acceptable, something like that. So at the same time, I was spending all of my money and like not having it and not saving it. I was making that mean things about my value in the world, and it was pretty hard on me. So that's really a picture of what my financial life looked like. That was really the impetus to create everything that you see, to discover the technology, the money operating system technology, to put together the TED Talk, to teach it now in this way. And it's why I'm so inspired, because I've freed myself from that money operating system, and I want that freedom for you. So the next question is, what were the supporting beliefs that went with my money operating systems? And many of those supporting beliefs were aligned with kind of the practices that were present in my life at that time. So for example, my degree was in economics, but it was not a Bachelor of Science. It was a Bachelor of Arts. And I told myself if I had got a Bachelor of Science in economics or a degree in finance, that I would be able to make more money. Like I needed a technical degree, technical education, and that I had kind of messed my life up by getting the wrong degree. I also had a supporting belief that bills were not really meant to be paid. It's hard to explain at this point, but when bills would come in, I would look at them and I would kind of say to myself, well, let's just see what happens if I don't pay it. Like, let's see what the consequences really are. And, you know, I mean, from the very first bills that came in, I remember the Columbia Record Company, and it was cassette tapes I would get. I think you paid for 3 and you got 16 or something. And of course, I didn't pay for the 3. I took the 19 cassettes, and that thing went to collections fast. That was my first experience as a debtor. And, you know, I wasn't good. I wasn't someone who should have been handling credit at that time. I had supporting beliefs like rich, successful people were out of reach for me. Like they had something I didn't. They had a special skill that I didn't possess. They weren't lucky. It was more like special. So that's some of the supporting beliefs that went with my money operating systems. And so what's changed now that I see it as a superstition instead of truth? That's the fourth and final question in this interview series. Everything has changed. Everything has changed. I earn more. I keep more. I own 2 businesses. I didn't own businesses before. And I love to save money. I have used a customized form of automation. I teach this form of automation widely. I love it. I love it. I love it. It scales infinitely. When money comes into my system, it automatically directs itself to where I want it to go. Money always goes to the places in my life that I value, to the things I want to invest in, to the things I want to create in my life. My experience now when I open my bank accounts is that instead of having less money than I thought, I almost always have more. And it's a blessing. I'm definitely, you know, on the right road financially, and I'm inspired to teach it. So thanks for being here and enjoy the rest of the interviews. Hi, Sandy. Thank you for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for thinking of me.
Absolutely. So, Sandy, can you share with the Profit Boss Radio audience, what is your money operating system and where did that come from?
Yes. So I believe that there's always enough money. And I have the experience that that came from my parents and from my grandparents and other family members.
So did they say that specifically to you and demonstrate it to you in their actions?
My father and his parents did. However, my mom had a different experience of life. And I saw what rang true for my father was very empowering. And so I adopted that.
Ooh, so you chose it.
Yes.
How great. How great. Okay. And so what did that have your financial life look like? Like what did your financial life look like naturally?
So first of all, my mom came from a very large family with not a lot of money, the projects. Like I've actually been back to where she's from and it's a very poor neighborhood with, you know, bars on the windows. My dad comes from a very wealthy family and he was raised by complete strangers, nannies, butlers, and cooks, and he didn't care for that. So it's very interesting to me that they even got together at all. And they just always worked things out around their finances, even though they had very different upbringings. So when I was with my parents, I just remember they always paid cash for everything. Mm-hmm. And they always had cash. It was just always cash. And kind of jokingly say I could tell when it was payday
because the cash, the envelopes of cash would show up.
I mean, I would joke like, oh, my mom's bra size got bigger. Like jokingly.
That's funny. For those of us who have ever been to the club, we know what you're talking about.
Right. And may she rest in peace. My mom was a youth pastor. And one of the things I just remember us praying over everything. And if it would bless us, then we would invest in it. And that's just kind of how I have lived my life. I try to invest wisely. I remember putting together a little saying with little alphabet noodle soup. Little sparrow cannot fall unnoticed, Lord, by thee. Although I am so young and small, thou carest still for me. And that to me rang true, like God sees and hears everything. So how could I honor the income that my parents may pass on to me, or the work that I do, that I could be a blessing to others? And my dad worked hard so that my mom didn't have to work. He didn't want us to be raised by a babysitter or a nanny and things like that. So my dad had very strong core belief that he wanted my mom home. And that worked perfectly for my mom because she was used to taking care of her 9 younger siblings. So in terms of money, they just always worked it out.
And so when you first were on your own and getting jobs, I mean, my impression from what you've shared with me from what I've known from you in the past is that you've had fairly high paying jobs. You've done fairly well for yourself. So your parents had the income they had, but then you translate that into good income for yourself. Is that accurate, would you say?
Yes. However, some of the things that I've done were fairly high risk. I just had a strong belief in myself and that if I worked hard, that I would be receiving something in turn for the value of what I produced. There were places I've worked where it was little or no base pay. It mm-hmm. was pay based on the results I produced, mm-hmm. commission or bonuses, if you will. I was in a relationship with someone who did not approve of that. And so I definitely had to show them that this could work. At first, they were like, what are we going to eat? They had a strong fear factor and they chose a different path for themselves. So anyway, we again had interesting conversations.
I bet.
I remember coming home just like, what did you sell today? What did you produce today? I was like, oh my God, I feel like you're my boss, not my, significant other.
Right, because that person's coming from a fear and you're coming from your experience in reality is that you're taken care of, like that little sparrow.
Right.
Yeah, I got it.
And even just more simple is this, give us this day our daily bread. That is more simple, that each day I know my name. I would go out and do my best. And I would be provided for. And my goal ultimately is to not only just be able to take care of myself, but to also be able to take care of others and give back.
And this really dovetails nice into the next question, which is about supporting beliefs that go with your money operating system. It sounds like for you, money really is intertwined with spirituality. And in your case, it sounds like religion too.
Yes.
And are there other supporting beliefs that you see that you have that go with this money operating system? For example, do you believe that you're good at sales?
Mm.
Oh, I thought that would be a definite yes, because I know you so well.
I know.
I really think that you are. So,
ironically, I wanted to be a teacher. So for me, I have the experience of teaching people. Maybe they'll come to me ignorant of a solution. And I want to be a teacher. I want to teach them what are some possible solutions for them, and they get to choose what works for them. So,
oh my gosh, that's sales, so perfect, because you don't even perceive it as sales.
No, I don't.
That's so perfect, Sandy. Thank you so much. Now, I interrupted you and I actually put words in your mouth. Are there other supporting beliefs that you see?
What are some examples that you think might...
So, for example, someone who believes that there's never enough money often believes that sales is slimy or bad. Do you see? Oh, so those go together.
I had that experience with someone that the person I said who asked me what I produced today.
Right.
Yeah.
funny that.
And I'm not like in a competition with this person. They're still in my life. I always want them to, if they could possibly give up that fear and then just in doing so embrace abundance. What would that be like for them? So I guess then.
So still taking on that teaching role.
Right. Leading by example. And I do have one example I could tell you. I was a single mom for 16 years, which is, that's a pretty long time. And I was in church and I had gone to the ATM machine and I took cash out. And I was just going to put like 20, this was years ago. My daughter was little. I was going to put 20, and I have to look at the impact on her. I probably should check in on her. The little offering bag, it was a bag, not a platter, came, and it was a little beautiful burgundy velvet bag, and my 20s had all stuck together. I was going to go to the grocery store after church, and they were brand new, and they'd all stuck together, so I reached in my purse, like $200 went in instead of 20, and I go, oh, and my daughter, she goes, what's wrong, mommy? And in that moment, I just had to choose. I said, oh, nothing, it's okay. So I was like, all right, well, that was our grocery money, because I do, yeah, I do try to live within my means and have a budget, but I don't think I have the same rules when it comes to assisting other people. Like if you said, we're having this event and it's a fundraiser, I just want to be a contribution. And so when I have clients even, I want to assist them. I do have a set rate of fees. And I also have created, well, maybe this is a, this will maybe be an answer for a later question. I'll hold that.
Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, but it sounds like you're willing to charge on a sliding scale based on your perception of need, right?
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Okay. And now what's changed? I know that you went through the introspective period of figuring out, hey, this is a money script. It's a money operating system. And it's a kind of a superstition. Now, it actually sounds like it's a superstition that's caused benefits and value in your life rather than pain and suffering, which is the case for many people. But what, if anything, have you changed about your financial life since that discovery?
Well, the person in my life who had the fear mentality and perhaps still operates with that, that actually is someone who I have a child with. Mm-hmm. And when I left with the clothes on my back. And after doing the money seminar, I realized that, well, if I believe there's enough money, then he does have enough money to help me support our child. And in doing so, after the money seminar, like after, you know, reading your article and really looking, and I have different real estate investments, and I was lenient with my tenants, and they were historically late paying the rent. Like every month, it was late, and it wasn't just 3 to 5 to 7 days. Sometimes it was 2 weeks late. And then I was able to go back to them and just, you know, create a structure that would work. And I think before that, I was just going to just take up the slack. I would just be, you know, pay whatever fees myself if there were any. So now I just feel that me standing for myself, I want to empower others. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So you actually were able to, in a conversation, standing in that belief, you were actually able to create abundance with another person where he previously didn't actually even think it was there.
Right, right. And he has his own business like I do, like you do. And so I started with just really creating a foundation of relatedness that, you know, hey, it's been a really interesting year, and just acknowledging everything that he's been through, both of us, and wanted to really look and check in and see if in fact this was the right place for them. And he just apologized, and it was just an oversight. I mean, people do have things that happen and it causes them to get distracted and busy. And they apologized. And then I asked if they could just put a structure in place, it doesn't have to be auto pay, but just something. You know, there's so many electronic things you could do now to alert yourself.
Right.
And, you know, so I asked him that he could also consider his new business doesn't have to be a place of pulling him away from his new wife, and now they have a new baby in my home. I don't know if I mentioned you, I've leased my place to four different couples, and they've all gotten pregnant. That's pretty funny. So it is a place of abundance in many ways. In many ways, like, that's what I created when I bought this particular property. And so I told him that he's living there now and he has to own it or they have to move. I literally created it like that.
Very good. Very good. Well, Sandy, thank you so much. I think, you know, I just really think the Profit Boss Radio audience is going to be able to learn from you and both take on your perspective and really, you know, the idea first is to emulate that which you wish to produce in your life. And so those beliefs and practices have to start somewhere. So thanks so much for your time today. I really appreciate you being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Sophia, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Thank you.
What was your money operating system and where do you think it came from?
It was a spend it while you have it. When I was younger, we never had a lot of money. And so when I would get any type of money, my first thought was to do something fun or something for myself with it because I never knew when more money would come in.
And so what did that have your financial life look like? What kind of actions were you taking around your money?
Meaning?
Were you saving it?
No. Nope. I was spending it.
And now you were in a relationship where how you handled and thought about money became a problem, right?
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that.
So my now fiance and I never really saw eye to eye on money. I was more in the belief of, you know, what if we die tomorrow? I want to do things with you and I want to create memories and have adventures and live in the now. And he was more of a planner. We need to save. We need to have things for the future. And at one point when we were talking about the future, we were just not crossing paths at the right time. And we actually split up for a while because of it. And I was waiting for him to actually change his mind and come over to my side and realize, hey, maybe we need to do more things. And, you know, he told me when I told him that, you know, we only live once and let's have fun. And what if we die tomorrow? His response was, well, what if we don't die tomorrow? What are we going to do then? And I wanted to, you know, have kids and get married. And I had all these plans, but I had no money to carry them out. And at that point, it really made me think that I was, you know, the one in the wrong. And I came to the realization that he's, you know, while I've had my fun, now is the time. And I need to save and I need to do something that's going to help our future, which I hadn't been doing.
Wow.
Basically my whole life. So.
Wow. So you had a complete shift.
Correct.
And so when you look back on your former self, that you that was owned by that money operating system called spend it while you have it, can you see any supporting beliefs that went with that enabled you to keep living like that?
So definitely a supporting belief was that I'm a fun person. And I wanted to go out on adventures, and I needed to have the money to do that. So I would go out with my friends and spend, and that would be my adventures. Another supporting belief was that money wasn't always easy to get. And so when I did have it, I wanted to do something with it because I never knew when more would come in. Maybe another was, I'll be successful later. I know that I'm good at what I do. I'm going to school. And so for the meantime, I'm just going to spend. And then once I make more money, that's when I'll be able to save. Because at this point, I'm not making enough to spend and to save.
Mm-hmm.
And so I spent instead of save.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it came to my relationship now with Efren, he would always ask me, you know, well, what are we going to do with kids and when we get married? And I would always tell him, it'll work out. We're going to make it work. You know, there's a lot of people who make a lot less than I do or that he does or us together, and they make it work.
Yeah.
We will figure it out.
That's really great. And it's really clear how all those beliefs support the core belief and enable you to continue behaving like that.
Absolutely.
All right. Fantastic. So, and I'm clear what happened that had you produce the transformation that you produced. And so now what's life like in your relationship with Efren and your financial life? What are the things that have changed?
We definitely do more of the at-home date nights. We sacrifice more. We've opened up a savings account together. And we're just, we have a lot more dialogues about money.
Great.
When we didn't really talk much about it, it was always, this is me and this is you and this is why it's not working. Now we actually talk and work things out when it comes to money and what we need to do and what we're going to do for the future. So just a lot more conversations about it, which really helps.
It's awesome.
More often.
So you're experiencing financial partnership.
Absolutely.
Collaboration and cooperation. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yes.
Thanks, Sophia.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, Nadia. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Nadia, would you share with the Profit Boss Radio audience, what was your money operating system? What did you discover was your money script before we met?
Well, I've gone back and forth between two, where money is, you know, I will always have enough and there isn't enough. And really, depending on what's going on with my finances, I would go back and forth between the two. So if I was making a lot of money, it's like, oh, it's okay to go ahead and spend it. I'm just going to make more. And then if I wasn't making as much as I had hoped, then, you know, there's that mentality of there's just not enough. I can't spend. I can't do anything. There's just not enough money.
Okay. And then in terms of giving us a picture of what does that money operating system have your life look like? Were you in debt? Were you saving? Were you overspending? Were you underspending? How did that go?
Well, before the program, I had a little savings. I had about, $9,000 or $10,000 in cash under my bed. And I just didn't know what to do with it. And I was afraid to really do anything with it. You know, I think I tried to always, you know, be very conscious of having negative belief around money. But I think underneath everything, you know, I was always worried that there just wasn't going to be enough. And I was just going to have to do things that I didn't want to do to make enough money. And I just didn't really have much savings. You know, I wasn't paying myself first. I wasn't investing. I didn't really care about longevity or retirement or anything like that. It just, you know, I was just living for the moment for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember being that way very clearly. And so actually the money under the mattress is really interesting to me because one of the questions I'm asking people in this interview is what are the supporting beliefs that went with that old money operating system? And so what do you think it was that had you keep money under the mattress?
Well, I was afraid, like, what if I needed it? What if I needed to, like, take off tomorrow and I needed that money and I didn't have access to it? And I actually, like, I really, you know, had this belief around that. Like, I, you know, I wasn't safe and my, you know, my money wasn't safe because, you know, all the, you know, the things that happen with people's money these days. And, you know, I wasn't educated about it. I didn't know enough about it. And, you know, I just kind of always had the viewpoint that, you know, rich people, they're just so lucky, you know, they fell into that, you know, and, you know, after doing a lot of research and really learning about, you know, how successful people are, you know, that's definitely not the truth. So, you know, I learned a lot through, you know, working with you and your program that just completely opened my eyes from all of the things that I was doing subconsciously and just, you know, being really automatic about how I was spending my money or what I was doing with my money.
And so this is all really great. And so what I see and what you're describing is how you were in the past is there's a little bit of like keeping yourself out of the system. Like,
yeah,
like I'm outside it. Whatever people are doing to make money, I don't know about it. I relate to it like it's luck. I don't think I really trust banks. Like it's a little bit of outsiderness.
Yes, absolutely. Okay.
So what do you see as possible now in your life? And what are some new results that you've produced now that you see your money operating system just as a superstition instead of truth?
Well, within, you know, 1 year of working on this, I have more in retirement savings that I look at it and I just don't even know how I made that possible. because had that money been in my hands, it would be completely gone. I just look back and like, did I really accomplish this in this short amount of time? And
you know, I remember you being in the program and you would have these days where you were just overjoyed and like, it was really like incredulity. And you were saying, I can't believe how much money I have. Yeah.
I still feel like that. It blows me away because, you know, I set up the whole automated system. I didn't even see it. And then before I know it, it's like, wow, did that really happen? And I didn't struggle at all to get there. And, you know, since I have worked with the program, I've given myself several raises. And I think I'm making like 2.5 times more an hour than I was before. And I have, you know, so many more clients. And I really just value my time. And although some of the money belief systems are still there, I don't let them run my life. Like it's, you know, I'm aware of it. I see it coming. And I just, you know, I move through it and I do what I need to get through it. And I just find that I really value my time. And I think of my time in terms of, you know, how much I charge an hour. So it just really, it kind of just changes the energy around everything. And I just feel so much more valued. And because of that, you know, I also in turn, I'm just making way more money and I'm just treating things a lot differently. And by having this complete automation, it really helps. And I'm paying myself first. And I just in a space that I actually never thought was possible.
Yeah. Thank you so much. And then you left a salary job, right? And it became a full-time business owner.
Yes, I did.
And so now you're in a position where you are literally asking for money. So you make the sale, close the sale, ask for money. And what's that like, that moment where so many business owners and entrepreneurs struggle to ask for what they consider to be a high price? Do you struggle in that moment or do you have to bring in a new money belief? How is that for you?
No, I don't struggle with it anymore. Before, I'm like, I can't believe I'm really asking for this amount of money. And now it's just like, no, you know, I know the results that I produce. I've produced them over and over and over again. And I still feel like I'm giving a ton of value for my time. I actually feel valuable. Like what I give people is tremendous. And I don't have a hard time asking for that. And of course, you know, whenever I do raise my rates, it takes a little time to step into it. And the only reason why I would raise my rates is because I need more time. And it's just really valuing, you know, who I am and what I'm offering to people and being able to control how much I'm making and feeling really satisfied and fulfilled by the work that I get to do now, as opposed to, you know, working for a company and having a boss that, you know, sets the expectations and all of that. And now I just really get to enjoy working with the people that I want to enjoy and the opportunity to not work with people I don't want to work with.
Well, Nadia, it's been just amazing to share in your journey. So thanks for sharing today with my audience.
Absolutely.
Is it going to pick up the dryer in the background?
No, it's a condenser mic.
I don't know what that means, but gotcha.
You pay a lot of money so that it only picks up right here.
Okay.
But don't hit the desk.
Okay.
So your arms, leave them where they are.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Robert, welcome to Profit Boss Radio.
Thanks, Hillary.
And you are my...
I am your husband.
Robert, what was your money operating system?
Well, my money operating system has always been that it's all good. Like there's nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. It is all good.
Where'd that come from?
You know, looking back, I think that my parents were always very focused on money. There was some stress around it. If, you know, there was a question of who would pay or whether there was a purchase that, you know, might it be too much, then there would be stress in the house. And I just never, I guess I rejected that. I never wanted that. So I created a life where money was just, it was taken care of. It was all good.
So you decided kind of to be the opposite.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't want that. And it's not the stress, like internal, it's stress between people. So it's like if you go to a restaurant with friends, I would just want to pick up the tab. And so there wouldn't be any stress between people of splitting the bill or whether we're going to split it equally or whether it was going to be based on what everybody ordered and who would do that math. It would just, it was all good.
Okay. I mean, I did the same thing. I picked up tabs for people, but it was for different reasons. It was because I wanted them to think I had money.
Well, so, I was fine if they picked up the tab too. It was all good.
Okay. Good point. And that's a, you know, some additional color on that point. So then how else would you describe your financial life? I mean, would you say you earned plenty of money, saved plenty of money? How did that go?
So I always made more than I spent because if I didn't, it wouldn't be all good. And so there was never debt that didn't have a specific purpose and an easy path to being paid off. It created a pretty workable financial life. At least I thought so.
Do you see any limitations?
Yeah, definitely. There are a couple of things that I discovered over time. One is, when you live, it's all good, you don't consider the possibility that it could be great. And the second is, when it's all good, you don't need to talk about money because there's nothing to talk about. Everything's good. Everything's cool. And so I was someone who just wasn't interested in communicating about money. And, you know, most of the time that's fine. But then, for example, if you were to ask my wife, she might be interested in communicating about money. And so it's all good. We don't need to talk about it. It doesn't fly.
Okay, good. Thanks for that. And so do you see any other supporting beliefs that went along with it?
Well, so one supporting belief was that money is a measure of success. And so I needed to have money to be successful. That was definitely one. The, you know, don't really talk about money is related to, what does it mean then if you do talk about money? Well, if you talk about money, then it means it's not all good, or it's related to success and to bragging. So if money equals success, then, and you talk about money and you make a lot of money, then you're bragging. You shouldn't be telling people that.
And bragging's bad.
Oh, of course. Bragging makes you look bad. And
hey, some means, people like to brag.
That's right. No, I just completely had that. That's why it's a supporting belief. I had that in my mind, like it's real, but it's just the way I view the world.
Okay.
So those are really, I think, the main supporting beliefs.
I'm going to assert, though, if you think if money is all good and it has to be all good, then you kind of have to relate to yourself like you're capable of earning good to great money. You have a high earning potential.
Yes.
I mean,
so you get a lot of education, for example. I did that. And then when opportunities come along to augment your income, you do that because income's got to stay ahead of spending.
What does augment mean?
Augment. So
I don't mean the definition. Give me an example.
So I am a professor, as you know. And business school professors are pretty well compensated, but there's always...
But maybe not by Silicon Valley standards.
Exactly. So there's always the opportunity to do something and be more highly compensated. And so I was always interested in that. And about 18 years ago, I started working with a hedge fund. And so for the last 18 years, I've worked in alternative investments and managed money. And that's how I kept money being all good, but it's interesting.
So you have a full, you're a tenured professor, you take opportunities to teach extra, and you run a hedge fund, and it's all good, which means you don't have the experience of it being too much or you being overworked. Am I on point here?
You are. So I created a life, as you know, where there's plenty of time for napping and for reading. And That really relates to the limitations, though, because it is all good. Like, all of it works. And so you can, you know, be financially successful without working too hard, so that it's all good. But there's no room for what would be possible if maybe you worked a little harder. So when everything's good, you're not really driven. You're not motivated to take things to the next level. In fact, you don't even think about it.
So most people would look at your life and say you look pretty driven, but you're saying you can see that there's room.
Well, I've had the experience. So in the last 4 years, I've gone from running the hedge fund like a side project to it being more of a main focus, and gone from, so for example, I couldn't do much marketing in the hedge fund. I had my partner do that because I had that I wasn't very good at it.
Okay. And just to be clear for people who are listening, when you say I couldn't do much marketing, that's marketing is selling.
That's right.
In this case.
That's
so
exactly what it is.
We don't need to get into the details, but you, what you're saying is your experience was you couldn't be part of the expansion or growth of the hedge fund.
That wasn't my job. I wasn't good at it. I shouldn't have to do that. You know, I related to it like it was completely outside my sphere of both capabilities and responsibilities.
I remember that.
And then taking on that might actually be something I could do, found that I'm not as bad at it as I thought I would be, and I enjoy it more than I thought I would. And for a little bit more work, I can end up making a lot more money. And so all good, it became very clear at that point that all good was standing in the way of great.
Okay. And my last question was, what are the things, or how have you changed your financial life since discovering that your money operating system is a superstition? But I actually think you've already been answering these questions a little bit.
I have.
Because you've been expanding yourself and not relating to it like it's true.
It definitely has been shown not to be true. So, you know, it's all good is it's pervasive and it's self-reinforcing because it is, in fact, a pretty good way to relate to money.
It is.
It's not stressful. It produces
It's way better
results.
Than the one I got.
So it was pretty entrenched. And the way that I got around it was, well, mostly talking to you, but getting into a position where I could actually see beyond it and it's all good and relate to there's more than it's all good or it's not good, and that there was actually a great that was possible.
Okay, awesome. And are there other things, more qualitative things or anything else you see that you're doing specifically now that you don't see that you would have done before identifying it as a superstition?
Well, the identifying it as a superstition, as a thought that was in my way, is what really has allowed us to form a financial partnership. That's not something that I would have been open to, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it would be unnecessary. And it's all good. There's no need to change anything because it's all good.
Right. And so the financial partnership looks like transparency, honest
communication,
money dates.
Yeah.
Deciding what money's going to get spent, how much we're going to spend.
Having more visibility, which is really useful. And because every once in a while it's all good, you hit a point where you're like, well, is it actually all good? What would happen if we bought that house, or if we bought that car, or if we, and not having any discussion of it, not having any insight into it, it actually creates the stress. And so you either run away from that or you have to run out and make more money, whereas maybe it's not even necessary. So it's actually created freedom.
Very cool.
If you enjoy the show, I sure hope you'll click subscribe and then download a bunch of episodes so you can take them with you anywhere you go, especially on your private jet. And you don't even have to send me a free kitten, but if you'd really like to make my day, I'd be forever grateful if you would be so kind as to review my show on iTunes. I heard that people who leave iTunes reviews get free back rubs. I don't know from who, but if I find out, I'll tell you. But I do know for sure that you'd make my day if you'd subscribe to the show and rate and review it today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for listening to Profit Boss Radio, where creating success on our own terms happens every day. You're not alone in your journey to a rich life, and that's why Hillary is here to add value in each and every episode. See you next time on the podcast for women and money.